a step back in time, to a largely forgotten Muslim society in which Jews, Christians, and Muslims all lived in relative harmony. Al-Andalus, on the peninsula that's now Spain and Portugal, was once Europe's most sophisticated culture. And as historian and novelist Tariq Ali told Steve Paulson, it remains a model for how different religions can coexist.
There existed in Western Europe Arab kingdoms, Islamic kingdoms, which were by and large tolerant, where you had three cultures, Islam, the dominant culture, Christianity, and Judaism, coexisting for several centuries. And it's not that, you know, they were always beautiful to each other. They argued and quarreled. But what is very interesting about this period is that Islam basically provided Jewish civilization and Jews with enormous shelter. And they were not attacked. There were no pogroms.
And this was a period when Jews were often persecuted in other parts of Europe.
Well, they were being persecuted in other parts of Europe. They had been expelled from Britain. There had been pogroms in parts of France on the way to the Crusades. But in Al-Andalus, they were looked after. They worked together with the Muslims. And it was from their history alone a peaceful period. At the same time, this was a period in which debate, discussion, and dissenting views flourished. Often, the philosophers from each side debated. In the big mosque in Cordoba, there were often debates involving Jewish and Christian philosophers with the Islamic philosophers. So from that point of view, it was a very productive period for the three cultures.
What centuries are we talking about when we refer to the
Al-Andalus? We are basically talking from the 8th to the 15th centuries.
Nearly seven centuries, then.
Nearly seven centuries.
The one thing that's fascinating about this particular historical period is, I mean, you're describing all of this intellectual ferment in what is now Spain and Portugal. I mean, this is what is usually called the Dark Ages in the rest of Europe. I mean, this was the time of cultural and intellectual backwater before the Renaissance came on the scene, and yet it was precisely then when this Muslim-dominated society was flourishing.
Well, Islamic civilization from the 8th to the 12th centuries was the dominant Mediterranean civilization. This was the civilization which recovered the works of the ancients. All the texts from ancient Greece were translated into Arabic. In the town of Toledo, Tolaitolai in the Arab world, they created a school of translators in the 9th century whose only job was to translate these texts and others from the original languages into Arabic. And so a lot of these documents survived merely because they were translated into Arabic, because lots of libraries were burned during wars, etc. And later it was then translated from the Arabic into Latin. And this was the bridge to the Renaissance. Arab civilization was the bridge. So the links between these civilizations are very close.
And yet what's curious is that my sense today is that most historians of Europe look at this whole period of Muslim domination on the Iberian Peninsula as almost a historical curiosity. I mean, yes, fascinating, but it didn't really have long-lasting significance to what Europe would later become.
Well, I think that's deeply shocking, actually, and shows what happened to the way in which history was seen, that history was always written by the victors. But if you read the texts, the great texts which followed the expulsions of the Muslims and the Jews from the Iberian Peninsula, the famous Quixote by Cervantes, it is littered with references to what had happened, but literary critics in the West cannot understand it. I mean, to give you an example, the latest translation of the Quixote, I think it's by Edith Grossman, is just brilliant. Now, the introduction is by one of the United States' great literary scholars, Harold Bloom. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in his introduction does he mention the context in which Cervantes was writing of an ethnically cleansed society, nor does he mention that Cervantes came from a family of Jewish converts, conversos. The notion that the great modern novel, the man who created the first great modern novel in Europe, could be of Jewish origin is still not accepted by the Spanish Academy.
What happened to this Muslim society? Why did the Islamic dominance crumble?
Traditional Islamic historians will say we crumbled because the reconquest proved to be stronger than us. That is not the case, in my opinion. I think the principal reason that enabled the reconquest to triumph in Spain was the fratricidal civil wars that went on within Islamic civilization itself. Islam as a culture and as a religion and as a civilization could never create a stable society, historically, right from the beginning. And there was a conflict. The conflict, which became very strong in Spain, was between hardcore fundamentalists, the Berbers coming over from across the water in the Maghreb, North Africa, arriving in Cordoba and Medina al-Zahara, the great capital cities of the Cordoba Caliphate, and saying, but these people are not true Muslims. So the Puritan zeal, you know, very much not totally unlike the Protestant fundamentalist who fled England in the 17th century and came to North America.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a hypothetical question. Suppose Al-Andalus did not disappear in 1492. Suppose it had continued and it remained a presence in Europe, in at least in that part of Europe, in what is today Spain, for centuries to come. How would European history be different?
Well, it would be totally different in the sense that you would have had three big civilizations existing in this peninsula. And they would have attracted a lot of refugees. For instance, to start off with, assuming nothing else was different, all the Jewish refugees who fled the pogroms in Eastern Europe and Russia would probably have found refuge. Many of them would not have gone to where they finally went, Germany and France, but would have come to Al-Andalus. It would have been a big magnet. Secondly, Islam would probably have undergone a reformation.
Similar to the Christian church?
Probably. It wouldn't have been totally similar because the religions are different. But if it had remained in Al-Andalus, it would have undergone a reformation of sorts, as would have Peninsular Catholicism. Peninsular Catholicism remained untouched because they were united in this crusade against Jews and Muslims. Had they not been organized in that way, the Reformation would probably have touched them as well. So the whole area would have been very different, and that would have made a big difference to the future of Europe.
Not just to Europe, presumably to the Middle East as well, to the Islamic world.
Because this would have been the most advanced outpost of Islam, and what was going on here would then have affected the Ottoman Empire.
Now, let me come back to the question of tolerance, because there is this image that there was a golden age of Al-Andalus when, as you've said, Jews, Muslims, and Christians all got along. And I know there's continuing debate about that, whether Jews and Christians had equal status to Muslims during that time. And obviously, there are tremendous contemporary implications for all of this, because there are a lot of people in the West who say that there's something about Islam, that there's this drive within Islam to dominate, that Islam cannot coexist with other religious traditions, not to mention with secularists. So what does that history say about our current situation?
Well, in the first place, I'm never one of those who said it was a golden age. There were lots of problems, obviously, but nonetheless, compared to what followed it, it was very attractive. It is true that non-believers paid a poll tax, but this was very, you know, something quite minor. I mean, we're talking about a medieval world. For what it was a pretty tolerant world. And this notion that Islam only dominates and never coexists, if that had been true, they would never have lost. They would never have lost the Arab East to the Crusaders. They would not have lost Al-Andalus.
Well, they could have been defeated by their rival.
Well, but, you know, Islam was never a unified religion. And what forced it to unite at times was the Christian wars against it. In the Crusades, they did manage to unite and finally defeat the Crusaders. In Al-Andalus, they didn't. What we have going on today is the result of modern conflict, conflicts which have arisen in the late 20th and early 21st centuries. This is nothing inherent in Islam itself, and this is something also which can be dealt with. And, you know, the other thing it's worth remembering, the largest Islamic state is Indonesia, totally outside the world we're discussing, so that one cannot even say that there is one single dominant Islamic way of looking at the world, apart from in a very narrow sense. It's a very, very broad and a very diverse culture, and to see it exclusively as a Wahhabi, Saudi Arabian type Islam is wrong, because this represents a tiny minority within the Islamic world today.
Tariq Ali is a historian, novelist, and political commentator. He spoke with Steve Paulson.